So this morning we want to carry on with Jesus, 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 because it's a great subject. He's a great man. He's awesome. He is, come on, tell me what you think of Jesus. The most wonderful. Vince, what do you think of Jesus?
Jesus, I love you!
There we go. There we go. He had his Wheaties this morning. Anybody this time? Ethan, what do you think of Jesus? Lord of Lords. Anybody? Ralph? Your Savior. Anybody here? Alex, what do you think of Jesus? All good is what you said. Okay, he's all good. Anybody else? Come on. King of Kings, lover of your soul. Desire of the nations. This is wonderful. Radha, what do you think? Good to see you guys, man. Excellent. Janine, what? Radha says delivery. Janine wanted to know, how come a week later Radha's here? I just thought the immediate thought came to my mind was good parenting. He pretty much hasn't got much choice. I love it when Kev doesn't know what I'm preaching on today, but he stands up and he says, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. He wants to roar over us. He gives us a new song every day. He gives us new manna every day. Jesus, the Lion of Judah. We want to talk about Jesus today. We've spoken about Jesus revealed. Remember, we didn't say not a revelation of Jesus, but Jesus revealed, Old Testament through to the New Testament, Genesis to Revelation. And part of our journey on this is connecting the dots and seeing how we can, and I hope we can connect some more dots this morning. Then we spoke about Jesus, the Word, living and alive. He's not just living. We know He rose, but He's an alive Word. He is the Word of God. And then we spoke about Jesus, the Bridegroom, looking for us, the bride, spotless, without wrinkle and blemish, and coming back for us. And then last week we spoke about Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb. But He's not only just the Lamb. We see Him, as you remember I said to Him, sometimes we still see Him, baby Jesus in the manger, so cute. Little rider, so cute. He's going to grow up to be a man one day. So Jesus was baby man, fully God, fully man, fully the Lion, fully the Lamb. Oh, here's my poetry for today. Oh, no, someone didn't get that. Did you hear the words round? Yeah. Thank you. I'm trying. We need to have a look at Jesus and learn to see Jesus in so many different facets. It's not just Jesus. I want to be careful how I say that because this is taped and people might listen to it. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is paintings that they go with the peachy thing and blue eyes and blonde hair. Man, that ain't what Jesus looked like. I can tell you that categorically. He didn't look like that. And while we paint Him and depict Him like that, and He's always got that like look on His face, you know. I think when He looked at you, you were like, wow, you can see right inside of me. He's looking right into me. It's like, block your mind so you can't read your mind. 10 in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 49, please. We know that Jesus is gentle and we know that He's kind and we know all that stuff, but we need to also see Him like the Lion of Judah. And so, well, why do they call Him that? Well, let's look at and see how we can connect the dots for today. So Genesis 49, don't read ahead, just read where I am, because you're going to lose the whole thing. Chapter 49, verse 8 is where we're going to start. Now, Judah wasn't the first son, and so you know the blessing and everything was always given to the first son, the firstborn. But the first one was Reuben. But Reuben was a bad boy. He defiled his father's bed and he slept with his father's concubine called Bilhah. I think that's how you say it. And then, of course, Simeon and Levi were the next in two, but they were also not good guys, and they ended up with a whole lot of bunch of bloodshed. And to my natural thinking, I thought, well, that was a good reason, but they went a little bit too far. They killed all the guys who raped their sister. And so when it comes to Judah, Jacob is blessing his children, and he says to them, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hands shall be on the neck of your enemies. I can see old Judah going, that sounds cool. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Sounds similar to the word and prophecy, the dream that was given to his other brother, Joseph. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lioness who dares rouse him. And here we have this picture of this lion who has devoured his enemy, and you got to see the poetic bit in the prophecy, because sometimes prophecy is not just thus saith the Lord, it's picturesque, and we have to learn to delve in and find out what that really means. And here we have this lion who's got a tummy full, sleeping in its cave, because it has devoured the enemies, had its hand on the neck of the enemies, has destroyed the enemies. And then he says, the scepter, so it changes the picture a little bit. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him. We're talking about the symbols of a king that is being raised up to come in the line and the tribe of Judah through Jesse to David, and that goes through right through to Jesus. And I've got here, you can read Matthew chapter 1:1-17, not now. You can go and read the genealogy of how we go from Abraham right through to Jesus, because that was where it came from, and that the prophecy that God set in place. It says, until tribute comes to him. He's saying, Judah, your influence will be for as long as the one who is meant for will come. And that was the Messiah, Jesus. And so he would, from the house of Judah, would be ruling and a scepter and a ruler's staff. And then it changes a little bit again. And to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. And some Bibles it says nations. Not nation, nations. As part of the Abrahamic promise fulfilled through the line of Judah. I hope you're helping me connect the dots in your heads. And then it changes a little bit and it says, binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. And what he's saying here is that wine and grapes in the Middle East in the time, in the Near East in those times, was actually very symbolic you have a vineyard full, you have a grape, you have good wealth, you have power, you have authority. And here he's saying, the wine, the joy, and the milk is a symbol of nourishment and fulfillment. And here he's saying that your vineyards are going to be so wide that they will come and take your donkeys and use them as hitching posts. And they will just hitch their donkeys to your, because it won't matter, because it is so vast and so plenty and such exuberance and plentiful and prosperity and all that good stuff. And of course, the wine and the milk speaks of strength and power. And this is the prophecy for Judah, the lion cub, the whelp. And their banner when they were out in the desert was that of a lion standing up. Let's go to, just to help fashion some of this picture, let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah, if I didn't say it right. Isaiah. I don't even know if that sounds right. I'm just going to stick with Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, we're going to read 10 verses. And now we see a different picture, but coming from Genesis 49, from the prophecy and the promise to the son Judah, where the 12 tribes, as we know, come from. Verse 1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, when all evil has been declared and done and there is victory, and out of the stump that is just left, there will come a shoot. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, the seven spirits of God, and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Important language, listen to it. Righteousness shall be for the belt of his waist, and faithful the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lamb and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the... You remember where you've read that before? And the cow and the bear shall graze, and their young shall be lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea. In that day, we get back to the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people. Of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Jesus, you are glorious. And then I've just put up there, and we see God's voice is likened to the roar of a lion. Isaiah 11:10, Amos 3:8. And let's go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 4. I can't get the song out of my head. Jesus, you're glorious. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9. Just remember the living creatures, the four living creatures surrounding the Lamb we spoke about a little while ago. One like the face of an ox, one like an eagle, the one like a man, and like the one like a eagle, lamb, and what was the fourth one? Ox, lion. Yes, lion. There we go. Where are you, Mark? Come back. And whenever the loving creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying and singing a new song, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals, number of perfection. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven and earth or under earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Let's just stop there. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And sometimes when we see the Lamb, we've got to accept the sacrificial Lamb. But sometimes we've got to get excited about the Lion who wants to roar over us. And I'm going to repeat this a few times because I don't always stick close to my notes. At the time is that Jesus came as the sacrificial Lamb, and he was died and he rose again, and he is seated in heaven. But when he's coming back, he's not coming back as the Lamb. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that is going to be good news, especially for the guys. Because they want a manly Jesus. Oh, okay, I do. I want to see Jesus in all his glory. Coming in on his stallion, on his white horse. With a sword that is in his mouth. And if you go and study that thing, and we think of a sword, you might think of a little Roman sword, but it's not a little sword. It's a long sword almost, and the word is actually to pierce. It's like a spear. And the words are his mouth. He will destroy the enemy, and he will pierce them. The captain of the host, the Lion of Judah. Can anybody roar? Where's Tom? He's my roar. Come on, who can roar? Oh, you shy Canadians. Come on, Vince, roar for us. There we go. Number one, a lion is king. I always say king of the jungle. I have no idea why they say that, because if anyone knows anything about lions, they don't live in the jungle. So lions live on the savannas. The only time you find a lion that might live in the jungle is actually in India, in the Gir forest. And they're much smaller than the African lion. So, but the truth of the matter is, he is the king of the beasts. He is the lion. He is the one that when you look at and you go, if you ever, who hasn't seen the Lion King? Okay, you need to go and see the Lion King. And you see him stand up on the rock there, just like this one here. And he roars. Not like a little baby, but he roars. And his power, and they tremble and they stop and they pay attention. And when Jesus roars over us, we should stop and pay attention to who he is and what he's come for. Jesus is king and he rules the universe. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew in his trumpet. There was a loud voice in the heavens saying, oh, not a quiet voice. There was a loud voice. We've got to learn to get a little bit noisy, a little bit loud. It's not a quiet. Heaven is not quiet. Let me tell you again. Heaven is not quiet. Remember last week said myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands worshiping him. No. Everything will be perfect. And it won't worry you that it's loud. Because you, hopefully, will be adoring him so much you won't even worry about everyone else. He came like a lamb to show his gentleness, but when he comes, he's coming back the majesty of a lion. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And you know what the good news is? You know what the positive thing out of that is? While he's ruling and reigning, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. And he's going to be the king and the lion and the lamb and the man and the God. And we're going to rule with him in all his glory. He's told us that this kingdom that here is not his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. And when we did Ephesians, dead in our sins, made alive in Christ, kneel before the Father, seated in heavenly realms, kneel before the Father, etc., etc. And we rule and reign with him, and we have to see ourselves ruling and reigning with him in heaven already. Although we're here, heaven, earthly bound by this amazing physique that carries me around. There we go. Hope there wasn't a guy. Philippians 2:9-10. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I still don't think we've received that power yet, or the knowledge or the understanding of that. But when in heaven and his name is mentioned, we will kneel. We should be here when we mention his name. We kneel in awe of this majesty, King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior. We're just like, hey, Jesus. Yeah, we want to do that. It's not who Jesus is. We might think so. And if we don't ever get there, if you don't give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not a, you know, we ran that thing in South Africa called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay. It was an amazing way to scare you into heaven. And some people got scared into heaven through Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. But it's not gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to say. If we have to make you afraid of going to hell so that you can get into heaven, I think it's a really poor idea. I'm just being honest. I think the reason we want to get into heaven is so we know we'll escape hell. That's because I've come to the full understanding, the knowledge of a living Savior who saved me. It's like saying, if you eat too much candy, you will get rotten teeth. But if you brush your teeth nicely, then you should be okay. So therefore, I'll just eat as much candy as I can and brush my teeth as much so that I'll still have nice pearly whites. I'd rather just have pearly whites and not eat all the rotten candy. It's a bad example, but it's one that came to mind. I just go and flow. If we do not acknowledge Him, there is a final judgment that is going to come. And the Lion of Judah will roar and come in fully in mercy and fully in judgment. He is full of mercy, full of judgment, justice. 100% mercy, 100% justice. Fully God, fully man. Fully the Lion, fully the Lamb. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He is accepted who put all things in subjection under Him. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him, that God may be all in all. And so we know it's all about Jesus. And we, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But there is a day and there is a time when He's going to turn around and say, Dad, it's all back to You again. And the Father will be glorified. As the Son is glorified, the Father will be glorified. And we need to learn to live in the place. The question is, how do we do this? If you've noticed over this series, I've helped put some handles in there to help us. How do we get there? Not as a legalistic place, but as a place of, oh, okay. Well, I hope so. We fear the King and we live as subjects. Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the King and do not join with those who do otherwise. A fear not out of, oh, I'm afraid, but a fear out of awesomeness and reverence to the King of Kings. If a lion walked in here today, we'd all be like monkeys shin up these poles that are unclimbable. And we'd look down and we'd have some serious fear. So if you've never been into the African, I don't want to say jungle because that's not where the lion is, but in the African savannas, and you've camped out there, and while you've been in your tent, you've heard the roar of a lion. It's something that sort of like starts to, a lion actually, I know I'm sounding very contradictory today. A lion doesn't live in a jungle. He doesn't actually really roar. A lion more coughs because he starts, if you ever watch, go on to YouTube and watch them, it starts right down in their belly and you can hear him, and it comes out. And we say he's roaring, but he's actually like a cough. And so one time we were in the bush with Kia and we had a bunch of novices with us. And so we had the tents and we waited for them all to go to bed and then we took out the tape recorder. And we actually had a roar of a lion on this tape recorder. And all these guys were in their beds and reading their Bibles with a candle, with a flashlight. And we let this lion roar. And we said, if you hear a lion roar, do not come out of your tent. Wow. Those guys made exits in those tents that weren't there. Boom! So what are you doing? We said, we're looking for a tree. A lion is we subject ourselves to. I'm running ahead. You know, we have laws that we're supposed to obey. But sometimes we don't do that because our conscience has become seared. Remember last week I said that we get to a point because we come so like, when there's no awesomeness and there's no reverence, we go, oh, well, Lord, you know, I messed up today and I like, just forgive me, okay? And we move on. And we live our lives like that. And that's why we speed and park illegally. I know. Oh, he's going to freak us out completely today. Well, the law says we shouldn't go over a certain kilometrage or mileage. And the law says we shouldn't park illegally. But we speed because our conscience is seared. Because we don't worry too much about it. And that's just the first step. So you're such a party pooper, Mark. you're the anti-fun police. And we start to, our conscience becomes seared. And look, if you want to speed, you'll get the fine. And then we actually go to the next thing where our conscience is seared until our conscience is seared. And then we just, it's okay to sin and just say, oh, I messed up, just forgive me, God. And God's grace is big enough to deal with that. But once we learn to understand who He is, and we subject ourselves to Him, and become true sons and true servants, we actually don't want to do that. And so the only guy I know who doesn't speed, maybe it's changed, I don't know, is Alan. Or maybe he does. Now he looks at me like this. When I first came to Canada, he was very good. That number of years driving with me perhaps has changed. It's much better to live in a place where we honor and respect and live in awesomeness of Him, the Master and the Rule. We want saved. Say, He's my Savior. We want Jesus, my buddy. Jesus, my brother. God, my Father. We want that. But then we don't want to hear the words like Lord and Master and bought at a price. You're not your own. You can't just do what you want to do. Ruler, judge, we don't like those kind of words. We want Jesus just to be happiness, peaches and cream, head on the side, cute little lamb in his arm, or one round his neck. I've said this to some people, and we think, oh, that's such a beautiful, oh look, he's such a good shepherd. Do you know why the shepherd carried the sheep around his neck, a lamb around his neck? Because the thing kept running away. And he has this big crook and his cue, and he used to hook it and bring it back. And eventually to teach a lesson and to bond it with him, they break its leg. And that's why he carried it until the leg was healed, and then they bonded, and then he put it down. Then the lamb was right next to his side. That changes the whole picture for me now. We don't want the discipline. Anyway, number two. What was that? Number one? Number two. A lion is ferocious. He is ferocious. And I know he sends the girls out to do all the work. And they go out and they do the work. I thought there was a lady objecting. And they go out and they do all the work and they make the kill. And then he's like, time for me to dine. And when he's finished, then the ladies can come back again and have it. Just as well in the human kingdom, we've changed all that, right? We have men, right? But we eat together now, don't we? Okay. I'm not going to ask any more questions. Revelation 19:15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God Almighty. And that word rule, again, is in the Greek, which means to shepherd, poimeno. And as you remember, a little while ago, we did the whole thing on elders and deacons and that. And this is all he's saying, we rule. And the minute we hear the word rule, we go, ah! But this is saying that Jesus is going to shepherd us with a rod and an iron. And that doesn't mean that he's going to be harsh with us. It means that a shepherd's crook is made out of wood. And if he hits the animals, the bear and the lion, it can break and it can mess up. But his is the rod of iron, which speaks to us of firm foundation. That doesn't matter what. Jesus says no, he doesn't mean maybe. Jesus says yes, he doesn't mean maybe. Jesus' rule, his shepherding towards us, is safe and secure. And it's, I'm trying to think of another word, which is not in my notes. Sorry? As king, he fiercely is protective over his people. He is jealous over us. And I know we think, oh, jealousy. No, it's a different jealousy. I mean, if it's a righteous jealousness. It's not for his sake, it's for ours. We are jealous over things for our sake, because I'm jealous of that thing. I'm jealous of that nice, whatever, instrument, guitar, camera, house, car someone has. That's because I'm envious of that thing. But Jesus is jealous for our protection, for our good, because he is the King of Kings. He hates sin so much because it messes us up. Comes in and invades in it. He came and he took every sin upon his body when he hung upon the cross. He took it, the one who had no sin, took it all upon himself. All your sins, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, past, present, and future. Sometimes we think, well, we get to the point where, well, he took some of my sins because I'm going to sin tomorrow. Do you think God didn't know all that stuff? And that's why if we connect the dots, Old Testament to New Testament, he is the sacrificial lamb once and for all. Yay, it's the good news. I'm so excited that I don't have to worry about it. I've got to live gloriously in his righteousness, just adoring him and living for him. And let everything else take care of itself. As I said earlier, it's 100% merciful, 100% justice. When he comes and brings justice to the world, and if you are saved, and I've said this before, we talk about the judgment, and we're all going to be judged. If you're a Christian, and you love the Lord Jesus, there are two judgments. There's the Bema, the seat of Christ's judgment, where we will be judged for rewards and for our good works. And what did you do with my son Jesus? And those who do not Jesus and have turned him aside and have set aside and said, I don't want any, they will be the great white throne judgment. So, hope that's helpful. Jesus is judge. The next thing, we humble ourselves before him because he is the judge. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we humble ourselves before him and we find our rest in him, then everything else, and I don't take lightly what happens in people's life situations. And we have to try and find Jesus in it, that we can take his yoke upon us because his burden is light, that we don't fret and stress. And I mean, the Jarvises had a horrific accident. Danny and Alex had a horrific accident. And when I compare what happened to us over this last 7 days, I go, how can I be worried about that? I got a flat tire driving along here. Our tap in our faucet in our house broke. Our air conditioning died on us. What else? Bridget's car broke down. That was just bang, 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 bang. And we're going, your face outshines the sun. Jesus, you are glorious. Yeah, some of you go, well, that's just so pale to where I've been. I get that. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do is know that he is ferocious. He is roaring over you, as Kevin said this morning. That he is protecting you. That he is standing there. We have ministering angels. Last week someone said they saw angels coming up and down. I'm sure there were angels here this morning. And we have to know that there are ministering angels looking after us. They're around us. But when you speed at 100 k's an hour, angels in the car. At 120, angel get out. At 140, the devil gets in. Yeah. When we don't humble ourselves to him, he will discipline us. And that's the part where we don't like ruler and judge and justice. And well, we like mercy and gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And And not to sound too harsh about it, but this is not a game. This is life for eternity. We went whitewater rafting in South Africa. We did a dads and lads thing. And there were instructions. And there was a thing, there was a rapid called the washing machine. And the guy said, if you fall out the canoe and you go into this rapid called the washing machine, what it's going to do to you, it's going to spin you around 6 seconds. Count 6 seconds and it'll spit you out. So, got it. So we go, and of course, I fall out of my canoe in the washing machine. So I get in and he says, ball up, count 6 seconds. I'm like, spin, spin, spin. I can feel it. I think, well, that's why they called it the washing machine. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Boop, I popped out. I thought, oh, I see what happens when we listen. When we humble ourselves and we pay attention and we're obedient. Then, of course, one of the teenagers came down and he fell out. And I'm sitting in the water with his dad and we're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and so panic sets in. We're about to dive in. 12. Boop, he pops out. I can't really tell you what he said, but I'm going to leave it to your imagination. 6 seconds. So he's screaming about 6 seconds. I said, so dude, did you roll up? He says, no, I got down there and it held me down, so I was fighting it. I said, no. You're supposed to bundle. He says, yeah, but I just couldn't do that. And I said, well, there you go, 12 seconds. And sometimes life is like that. If Jesus says, humble yourself before me, I will raise you up in a time that is good for you. We need to just humble ourselves 6 seconds and we're good. But when we fight him on every level and do our own thing on every level that we choose, because nobody's the boss of me, 12 seconds. Or longer. Okay, let's finish it. Last point. The Lion of Judah is victorious. Jesus is victorious. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. I hope from Genesis 49 to Isaiah 11 to Matthew 1 to Revelation chapter 5, you can now tie the dots and see that he is victorious. He has won the battle against Satan. You know, there's the main battle, or there's the main war, and then there's little battles. And we go through our little battles, and sometimes we just give up. And we say, we have to learn that he is victorious. He is on his white stallion, and his sword and his eyes are burning, and he's coming back for a perfect bride. He comes victorious in a white. Just look at this, connect the dots here. He enters Jerusalem as a humble man on a donkey, a savior king. Now, if you wanted to go and show that you were the warrior king, you would not ride a donkey, you would ride a horse. A horse, a stallion, is a symbol of war and king. And so he rides into Jerusalem on this donkey, the savior king. And they all screamed, who's this king? And then they said, hail the king. 3 days, crucify him. And we see that when he comes and he walked the Via Dolorosa to the cross for us. And when the emperors would come, they would come and there would be in Rome, there would be this road called the Via Sacra, S-A-C-R-A. And they would ride this on their horse and they would come in, majesty. And they would come all, and everyone would be out there to give them accolades. And they would bring all the gifts and all the prisoners with them and to show their conquest power. And Jesus did the same. But he did it in a very different way. When he arose, then he went to Ephesians chapter 4 and he had been to hell and he had got the captives and came and he paraded and he said to the church, I'm going to leave you some gifts. Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. This is what I have conquered for you. This is what I leave to you as a gift. As he went down, his after the Via Dolorosa, after the Via Sacra. He is victorious as he came and he gave his victorious gifts to the body of Christ. We no longer have to fear Satan. We no longer have to, oh, it's the devil's against me. Yeah. The minute you pick sides, the enemy is against you. Now, there's no middle ground. It's like enemy, Jesus. And you can't stand in the middle because by not making a decision, you've made a decision. So if you stand on this side, I trust that you will hear the gospel, that you would want to say, I want to be on this side. And when you come to Lord and Savior, Master, Ruler, all that good stuff, Brother, Father, Holy Spirit, when you get all that good stuff, you realize that you've already chosen and you are, there is an enemy who wants to seek and destroy. And funny enough, it also goes around and says, like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's in a different context because it refers to when the lions would go against the Christians in the arena, when they would be fed to the lions. It's the context there. Yeah. We are victorious in him. Romans 8:37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just as we have the victory, and as we are already seated in heavenly realm, as we are, as he sits on his white horse with his sword and his eyes like fire, and he leads the army captive. And I believe that that's not just a picture of when Jesus comes back for Armageddon per se, but that is what is happening right now. He is warring for us. He's interceding for us. And the saints, and he says, because his coat is dripped in blood. Where did the blood come from? I think it's from the enemy that has been vanquished already. And one day he will come back and set up the new Jerusalem. And we will rule and reign with him. Because he can conquer any sickness, any disease, any thoughts in our head, any minds, the things are trying to attack our minds. Our eyes might, our natural eyes might not be able to see that. We need to look with our spiritual eyes. See beyond. So people say, oh, you hate sinners. No, not at all. Jesus hates the sin. We don't like the sin. We shouldn't hate people. We love people. Saved, unsaved. Churched, unchurched. We love people. Doesn't matter. It's the sin is the problem. Jesus loves the housewife just like he loves the murderer. I don't know why I use that analogy, but there you have it. Seem nice and clean. And keep our eyes fixed on him for the eternal prize. Father, we come to you today, Lord God, and we see you this morning as the Lion of Judah. And Father, we live in your glory, in your righteousness. We come before you, we humble ourselves, and we bow ourselves before you. Jesus, you are glorious. You are mighty, Jesus. We thank you that you came as a lamb. We thank you, Lord, that you are returning as a lion. We thank you, Lord God, that you are almighty, all-powerful, Jesus. There's no situation. There's no circumstance. There's no thought in our head that is above the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you that your Son would be revealed to us more and more and more each day. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for dying on a cross. Thank you for rising again. Thank you for being victorious. Thank you for being ferocious over us. Thank you, Lord God, that you care for us. That you even know the number of hairs upon our heads. That we are worth more than two sparrows, the word says. Jesus, you are the Lion of Judah. You are mighty God, our deliverer. Father, we pray for those that need healing in spirit and soul, in body, physical healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. We lift them up to you this morning, Lord God. Father, as they raise their eyes to you, their hearts to you, Holy Spirit, would you work in their lives, work in our lives, work in my life, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name.